For this morning's devotion, I'll be reading from Luke 19, verses 28 to 40, which is Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And typically, we read that portion of Scripture often around Palm Sunday in remembrance of our Lord's culminating work on earth in that final week as he went to the cross. But Hans will be speaking on the significance of Jerusalem. And so this is a nice verse he had given, that or section of Scripture, that leads into that. And there is a great significance about Jerusalem. It is there's a reason it is mentioned, or the most mentioned city in the Bible, and is often spoken of by God. And it's not that it was physically some sort of extraordinary thing, although it would have been a place of extraordinary significance. It's not that the people made it into a great city. It's because God had chosen that place, that city, for a purpose. And as we will read here in Luke 19, he had chosen it to, in this section, he was going to make a pronouncement. There was going to be a payment, and it is the future place where there will be a punishment for all those who reject Jesus' salvation. And so if you have your Bible and want to turn to Luke 19, verse 28, and we'll read on down to 40. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon you yet never man has sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man asks you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose you the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and said, And they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of at the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from them, among them, multitude, said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And I always like that last verse, because if you've ever been to Jerusalem, one thing they are not in shortage of is stones or rocks. And so that is a very, very strong picture of what would cry out. It would be far louder. In fact, they would regret those words if the rocks had cried out. I have no doubt about that. But at the procession of Jesus into Jerusalem, we read of a bold pronouncement that was made by what we believe to be faithful men and women who were looking upon Jesus for salvation. They said, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The people proclaimed their faith in Jesus as the one that would bring peace. Peace to this earth. But another pronouncement was made that very same day, a silent pronouncement, in that it wasn't spoken by word, but a pronouncement by God, and it was made through the actions of Jesus. He rode in on a loosed colt, which had never been ridden upon, which was covered with the garments of those who came before Jesus, prostrate, laid before him, brokenhearted. Jesus came into Jerusalem to establish something very new, the new covenant that was in his blood, where the brokenhearted could be loosed of sin. We, like those colts, could be loosed from our former master, where the brokenhearted could be loosed from sin and death, and shed your old garment, the old man, and come under the obedience of Christ. At the procession of Jesus into Jerusalem, there was also about to be made a payment, one that could only be made by God himself. Jesus had not yet come to be king on earth, his rightful position. He had not come yet to establish global peace, which the people were desiring, and certainly desire today, many do. No, he came to establish peace between sinful man and holy God, and it was through the payment of his shed blood. He came to Jerusalem to satisfy the necessary requirements to establish redemption. His payment served to redeem all who would come unto God in repentance. And in fact, it would redeem Israel, the land, Jerusalem, the future city, in which King Jesus will reign from. At the procession of Jesus into Jerusalem, Jesus also proclaimed that there was a day of judgment, that it would come, and that very city. Later in Luke 19 and verses 43 and 44, he speaks of that. In Matthew 25, verses 31 to 34, Jesus speaks very clearly of his return to Jerusalem, and he'll be coming as that glorified king. He will sit down in Jerusalem and judge the nations. And all those who trusted in him, put their faith in him, will be welcomed into that kingdom at that day. But those who rejected will be judged. That is the separation of the sheep and the goats, as Jesus tells us. But until that day, we are currently in this church age. And between the first coming of our Lord and his return, we know that God is constantly calling out to individuals, as 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 tells us, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." He is calling out to man. And we are not to delay in that, for our day may certainly pass before the coming of our Lord Jesus. We know not the day of his appearing, when he will call his church to come up and be with him. But we do know that he will return to this earth. And it will be after, I believe, he has gathered his church. And he will return to Jerusalem, when all of Israel will correctly and humbly proclaim, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." As Matthew 23, verse 39 tells us. That is when he will return physically back to this earth. And that is, I believe, why Satan's attack on this specific city of Jerusalem has been so severe over the centuries. Right from the very beginning, you can even trace it back to the garden, being in that very area. Because Satan knew that there was something profound about that city, and that God would do certain works within that city. It happened at his pronouncement. It happened when he went to the cross to make that payment. And Satan's attack on Jerusalem certainly has increased in our modern day, in our present day, even in the last few years. The attack on that, and certainly the attack within the church on how their view is of Israel and Jerusalem, has changed. Sadly, much for the detriment. And I believe it's because God is preparing that very land for this final act. And we know that there is a day of judgment that will take place there. And Satan certainly would desire to prevent that if he could. But we know he cannot foil the plans of God. And so may we endeavor to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as Psalm 122, verse 6 tells us to. That we would pray for the peace that God will establish, not the peace that man will try to bring about, because we know that will fail. But when there is peace in Jerusalem because it's been established by God, then there will be truly peace in this world, and all to the glory of God. And until that day, may we who have been loosed of our sin come unto Jesus. May we not be confused or ignorant of the significance of Jerusalem. For it is a chosen city by God. It is still the apple of his eye. He has not rejected that city just as he would not reject us who come unto him. We are chosen for a purpose, and so we should gratefully and thankfully serve our Lord until that day where he fulfills all things. And we know that he is coming again to rule in that city from a throne where the peace will be finally established. And so may God be glorified, and may you be encouraged in his word as we look at the study of Jerusalem throughout time and God's providence.